You're Locked On Maple Leafs, your daily podcast on the Toronto Maple Leafs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to this crossover edition of the Locked On Florida Panthers and the Locked On Leafs podcast for the people on the Maple Leafs feed. Let me introduce myself. My name is Armando Velez from PantherParkway.com and the host of Locked On Panthers, and very grateful to be joining the host of the Locked On Leafs and the host of the Tuesday edition of Locked On NHL, Mike DiStefano. Mike, how are you?
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well. We're less than a week away from puck drop. So I'm just getting jacked up for hockey to be here quite soon.
Yeah, I'm definitely ready as well. Already been to a preseason game, seeing the Florida Panthers and Tampa Bay Lightning play just 2 days ago of this recording. Yeah, Nolichari ended up getting injured as a result of that. He's going to be gone for a little bit. No updates on whether there's going to be surgery, but 96 minutes of penalty time. But there's two preseason games left at the time of this recording, and I think they just got it out of their system. But for the next two preseason games, it won't be as intense when it comes to the scuffles and all that stuff. So definitely something that it was just immediate. Two more games. You don't want anyone to get injured, but then they're going to have an early test just the third game of the season, just facing off against each other. But I want to talk a little bit about Toronto. And tell me, Toronto is a hockey town that's number one there. I mean, any major town in Canada. And the Maple Leafs also have a documentary series that just came out on Amazon Prime Video. And there's a lot of talk going on. And what's the pulse of the fan base right now there in Toronto?
You know, usually like last year, it's so different from what it was a year ago. Like it used to be, you know, people were quite optimistic and people were quite happy and excited for the Leafs to get going. It seems like there's a little bit of pessimism with the team this year. Like people aren't as like high. There's more skepticism going on. Like, look, they've broken our hearts how many times in a row now? Like, I don't want to get my hopes too high. They're going back into the Atlantic Division, which is going to be tough. Like, I mean, the Canadian division, it had some really good teams, but there was times where it seemed like, you know, Toronto was clearly the better team every single night. And that just, it might not be the case here when you go back to the Atlantic with teams like Florida and Boston and Tampa. It's going to be a lot more difficult. So I think Leaf fans are trying to like sink back into it and realize that, yes, although success in like a deep playoff run is what we all want, we're weirdly also like juxtapositioning it with the fact that this team is going to have a tough, tough first round in the playoffs. And if they get eliminated again, it's not because they're not good. It's just because everyone else in the division is just so much better. Not so much, but better. So it's weird. It's a weird feeling right now in Leafs Nation.
Absolutely. And many people, even last year, even before Canada approved for certain cities to bring in fans and for even travel across border, there was talk about the Canadian teams coming to the American cities. There was rumors about Buffalo, and everybody was already saying last year that once the Maple Leafs advanced past the first two rounds, even I was saying it, and then 3-1 happens to Montreal. And I can't even imagine listening to radio. You work in radio in Toronto. For my listeners, letting them know that you work in the radio scene, and I can only imagine the anger, and laying it all out on the Leafs for just letting go of this lead. I mean, they lost John Tavares very early in this series. Tell me how crucial that loss was, even though it was still early in the series. They were still up 3-1. Tell me how big that loss was as far as that.
Well, it was huge. I mean, like, clearly you look at what he does on the ice. Like, he's the team's, like, second-line center, but he's also, like, a franchise guy. Like, you saw that when he was in New York. So, you know, he has the talent on the ice to be a difference maker. So, you lost out on that. You lost out on a guy who could go out there, score a big goal. He's a matchup type of player, someone who you can trust defensively if need be. He can play somewhat of a 200-foot game. He's not quite – you know, Brad, or he's not quite Patrice Bergeron here or Alexander Barkov, but he still is like reliable. And, you know, so it just totally changed the complexion. And the Leafs on the fly just had to kind of deal with it and figure out ways to get around it. At times they look good, especially early in that series. Like you said, through four games, they're up 3-1. And I think where he was really missed though, clearly on ice, yes, but like off the ice, getting that team back, you know, getting their heads right when, you know, they lost a bad game, they lost game five, then game six, and then going into overtime into game six, like not having him there, that vocal leader, having that captain, right? Like he's just, his presence, I think, was missed. So it clearly was a massive, massive reason to why the Maple Leafs weren't able to get out of the first round last year, I believe. Like if he was there, I don't think it's a question of whether or not that this team would have won the round. Like they almost did. They really shot themselves in the foot with just their own silly mistakes and their own turnovers, which Montreal just capitalized on the few turnovers that Toronto made. Montreal always was there to capitalize. And it was just those few little mistakes, those one goal games that they lost where you have to think Tavares would have been able to score one or a couple of goals. And it would have been a totally different ball game or a totally different hockey game if he was in the lineup. So it had great effect on the way that series ended.
Yeah, and Florida Panther fans are very familiar with John Tavares from the 2016 season. The Panthers were up 1-0 in game six on the road in New York. And less than a minute in, he ties it and then scores the game winner in overtime for the Islanders to clinch the series. And John Tavares, along with Marner and Matthews, he's from Toronto. Saying this mostly for my listeners, and so him going back home, him being the captain, so that leader that's gonna bring the guys up in the locker rooms, circle them up, and say, "Hey, you got to do your assignment. You got to make sure that you're doing this." It means so much from a locker room perspective and on ice. But I want to talk a little bit also about Mitch Marner as well. So I believe it's two goals in the last 17 playoff games, if I'm not mistaken.
That's zero goals in his last 18 playoff games, actually.
So how's the fan base feeling about Mitch Marner in his recent postseason? What's the pulse on him?
Yeah, you know, it's not great. It's not great. You know, Armando, there's a large section of Maple Leafs fans who were really trying to trade him away this offseason. Mm-hmm. And like people are not happy with how things turned out. Obviously you go 18 straight games, you're making them $11 million. Everyone knows how up against it the Maple Leafs are when it comes to the cap. And we have a guy who's making $11 million of that, not producing the playoffs. There's going to be some scrutiny. Like there's going to be people who are going to be beaking at him. And they were, there was a lot people calling for his head on social media. Actually came out the other day and said, like, I had to get off social media. He said, like, it got to me. And, like, this season I'm just going to try and stay off it as much as I can and just try not to engage with the haters, essentially. And, like, I'm always curious, right? I like to ask other people from this fan base just because, like, my listeners here at Locked On Leafs, like, I've tried to explain, like, look, Mitch Marner is, like, a franchise player, right? Like, someone as an outside perspective, you being from Florida – like, how much would you love to have Mitch Marner on your team, even if it was at $11 million?
I mean, he is a franchise player. I do think he's really great at $11 million. I don't know with if you're combining him with like Huberto and Barkov who are up for new contracts, I'd probably say no based on the current cap situation. But if those factors weren't in, I'd take him. But yeah, definitely. He is a franchise player, and he has produced in the regular season, just hasn't produced in the postseason. And that kind of reminds me of like Jaromir Jagr as well. He went like 30 straight playoff games without scoring a goal, and that was a big criticism of Jaromir Jagr as well throughout the latter part of his career. And something you mentioned a few months ago on Locked On NHL was you compared breaking up the team, that people want to break up the Maple Leafs team, the core that it has right now. You compared it to the Washington Capitals when they were constantly getting eliminated in the playoffs and bringing them back. Can you elaborate more on your belief that, or if there is a lack of belief on this team of keeping it together while everyone else is saying break it up?
So like you want to, like, why is this team, or is this team, like, is management Kyle Dubas, are you asking me why is he so passionate about keeping this team together?
Yeah, and is it worth keeping it?
So like this is somewhat why I brought up the Mitch Marner thing. Like, there's so many people that wanted to get rid of him while you had, you know, Dubas and company always coming out here and they're always stating like, no, this is our group, this is our core, we believe in this core, and like, till death do us part, this is, you know, we're putting all the chips in the baskets here with these guys, and you know, our core is the ones who we think can bring us to the promised land. They've been extremely vocal about that. Even last year, the day after getting bounced, the day after Mitch Marner, you know, went his 18th straight playoff game without scoring a goal, he still went up there and said, nope, Mitch is our guy. He's someone we believe we can win with, along with Austin and Nylander and Muzzin and Riley and Tavares and like all those guys. They feel extremely pleased with this club and they feel like they can get something done. And I agree to an extent. Like the people who wanted to move on from Mitch Marner, like my question to you was, well, how do you expect this team to get better by moving out a talent like that? Like you trade away Morgan Riley because his contract's running up. Well, how are you going to get better this season if you trade away Morgan Riley? Because what are you going to do? No one's going to trade for an expiring contract. Like, you're not going to get better, right? Like, you may get some futures or some younger pieces, but is it going to help you this year? And that's kind of how I feel like with a lot of the players. If you were to break up this team, does it really make you better? And for a team that is in win now mode, they've gone all in, they don't really have an opportunity to kind of retool things anymore. It's kind of, these are the horses that they got to run with. And hopefully, you know, they can get a little bit of luck along the way and end up having some success this year.
And the two teams involved in this podcast, in this conversation, the Panthers and the Maple Leafs, they're the only two teams that haven't won a playoff series in the shootout era. So the pressure to win is now. So the Kyle Dubas and Sheldon Keefe have a lot of pressure to do it. So they might not have much time in their respected positions. And speaking of, I saw that Sheldon Keefe just got an extension, but you were saying how this doesn't mean that he's here long-term. Do you want to elaborate more on that?
Yeah, so he was going into his final year of his contract, and you typically see coaches and GMs get extended going into their final year just so that they don't have to be hounded by the media every day about not having a contract. So essentially they just wanted to make sure that that was going to be kind of cleaned up a little bit, I guess. And it's just 2 years, right? Like 2 years. If they really believed that he was the guy long-term, if the company really believed, I think that there would have been a more sizable contract. But at just 2 years, if it doesn't get done this season, I mean, they could void that contract and they could eat it. Like, just like the way they ate the last couple of years of Mike Babcock's contract. Like, Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, the company that owns the Maple Leafs, are very, very rich. So a couple million bucks to you know, get rid of their coach and get someone else in is really just a drop in the hat. Like, if anything, this is just kind of a nod, like, okay, we like the direction you're going in. But so a nice little 2-year extension gives him a nice little kind of cushion to, you know, keep it going. All right, we like the direction we're going in, but you still have a year or two to prove that, you know, you can win with this squad and you can win being the head coach of this team. Because if you're not getting it done in the next year or two, it's curtains for him in Toronto.
Sounds like a little bit of a trial period from the outside perspective.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Which is weird because he's been here now for like a year and a half. So the trial period somewhat over, but this is his first full season. He's yet to have a full 82-game season. This was his first ever real training camp. Like, keep in mind, we haven't had a real season since 18-19, right? The last time we had
it. To say.
It's in 2018. We are now in the year 2021. Like, it's been 3 years since we've had that. It's wild. It's wild. But so he came in halfway through the year of the pandemic, and then last year was a shortened 56-game season. This is his first time getting a full training camp. He's going to have a full 82 games. So I think it's somewhat unfair to not give him this opportunity and not extend him to see what he could do with this club. So I think that also has something to do with it, the fact that, you know, he hasn't been given a true fair shake. So this is just give him a little bit more time to get things all sorted out.
And that's very fair, giving him a chance. Last question I want to ask you before we transition over to you asking me about the Panthers side of things. I want to ask you about the goalie situation, because Freddie Anderson's now out. He's in Carolina. Now you bring in Peter Mrazek from Carolina. So it's like you swap goalies with Carolina. Mrazek has had a little bit of injury issues here and there, along with Freddie Anderson, who was for the Carolina side. Jack Campbell did have a little bit of a run last year. So how confident are you in the goalie tandem there up there in Toronto?
I mean, I like it. I think it's going to, like anything, like, let's put health aside, because you can't control it, right? So absolutely. If you're healthy, which I'm just going to, based off of this question, this answer is basing it on health, I think they're fine, right? I think Jack Campbell displayed last year that he can be a quality goaltender. And then even through the playoffs, he had that full 7-game stretch. There was a back-to-back that was involved there. And I think last season, he just kept checking off boxes, like every step of the way, checking off boxes. And he earned the opportunity to be the guy. He earned the opportunity to kind of be the number one A. And I use A specifically because I don't think he's been able to prove that he could be a true number one who can hold like a 60-game workload or a 55-game workload. I think this will be a 1A, 1B tandem. And both of these goalies have, you know, been part of tandems. They know what it's all about. They know mentally what to expect going into it. And I think it could work. They've both had tremendous success over the last couple of years. You know, Jack Campbell is comfortable with the team here now. He knows the defensemen. He knows the players. They know the systems. And then Peter Mrazek, the Maple Leafs brought in a new defensive coach or a new bench boss, a new assistant coach who's taking care of the defensive side of the bench. He came from Carolina. So I'm sure that there will be some familiarity there. And, you know, that probably will help Peter Mrazek kind of acclimate himself to this team as well, just knowing that he knows that system just as well as anyone else, because he spent the past couple of seasons with Dean Chynoweth in Carolina. And on top of that, they both just have been steady, solid goaltenders for the last like 2 years. And at this point now, it's just a matter of doing it consistently and doing it, you know, over the course of a full 82 game season.
And definitely that goalie, I always preach the number one factor in winning, and health is definitely going to be a part of that. That's for sure. So in the next segment, Mike is going to be asking me questions all related to the Florida Panthers. So keep it right here on this crossover edition of Locked On Panthers and Locked On Leafs.
Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle. And a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you all your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows in all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's a no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. We're back and better than ever. All eyes on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. And they're getting back onto the ice for some hockey. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. You can head to the website or use your promo device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial investment just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, hockey, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, welcome back into this crossover edition of Locked On Panthers and Locked On Leafs. I'm Mike DiStefano, the host of Locked On Leafs. Alongside me, I got Armando Velez, host of Locked On Panthers. Armando, I got some questions here for you. You ended off your line of questioning with a discussion about the goaltenders in Toronto. So clearly, I need to establish what's going on. What's the scene like in Florida? Because you got Sergei Bobrovsky, or as we like to say up in the north, Bobrovsky. Thanks, a little ode to Jay and Dan. Are you Jay and Dan? Are you familiar with them down in Florida?
Not too familiar, but yeah.
They were Fox Sports for a little bit, but growing up, whenever watching like the SportsCenter highlight shows, and even to this day, they still do it. But every time they talked about Bobrovsky or he would make a big save, it was always Bobrovsky. So anytime that I see that name and have to say that name, that's how I say it. So you could take that down to Sunrise, and y'all can use that if you would like. Okay. But you know, you got him making a boatload of cash. Hasn't played well since getting there. But then you got this young kid, right? You got Spencer Knight, first round pick. He was a stud last year, had a couple of games, gave himself an opportunity in the playoffs as well. Like, what's going to happen with the goaltending here? Chris Drieger out. So this is between these two goaltenders. How's the competition shaking out right now between the pipes?
Right now it's, not set in stone, but the plan is a 60-40 split between Bobrovsky and Knight in favor of Bobrovsky. You got to give the $10 million man a chance. You have to. This is Spencer Knight's real rookie season. He only played 4 regular season games and 2 playoff games. So this is his first real season after just signing his ELC soon after the NCAA tournament ended for him in Boston College. So, I mean, he looked great to start off. 4-0-0, 2.32 goals against average, and a over 910 save percentage. Don't know the save percentage on the top of my head, but it was over 910. So the production was there for Spencer Knight, and he created a little bit of a boost for the Florida Panthers, especially when he entered in game 5, won the first game by a final score of 4-1. Unfortunately, on the other side of things, you had Andre Vasilevskiy, and he was just stopping every single little shot. He's not bad. Only 5 straight playoff series clinchers with a shutout. He's pretty good. But for sure, the plan is for Sergei Bobrovsky to be the leader and be the guy to mentor him. And Spencer Knight is super mature, and he's 20 years old. And he is taking this learning part of things very well. Even in the prospect tournament, he talks about how this is still hockey. I have to act like I've been here before. I have to act like that I'm still trying to create an opportunity to make this team. And fans know it. Media members know it, that he's going to be on the team. He's going to be part of the team. But he still has the mentality of saying, there's no guarantee that I'm even going to make the team. I still have to go out there and try every single night out. And so far so good for Spencer Knight as of this recording. Right now Sergei Bobrovsky is not with the team right now because him and his wife just brought in a new baby to the world. So congratulations to the Bobrovsky family for that.
No.
Gotta say that from now on. But yeah, congratulations to them. And For sure. And I talked about this with one of my writers from Panther Parkway, that I'm not a parent, but they say that when you do become a parent, it brings like a little bit of a joy in your life, and life, you have a little bit more of a pep in your step when you go through life. So maybe that's a boost for Sergei Bobrovsky in year three of his 7-year contract.
I also, you can look at it the other way too. You're not used to having to wake up at 3-4 a.m. in the morning to a screaming kid when you got, you know, morning practice and then you got a game later that night.
Fair point.
I remember there was a conversation here in Toronto at one point. It was like Tavares was really good his first year here, and then he had a baby the following summer, and then his play, not that he was bad, but like he didn't score at the same rate, I guess. And it's like, I wonder if like having the kid just kind of took away a little bit of that energy that he had, and it, you know, not that the kid drained him at all. Like, you know, it's not, look at this in a, you know, a totally negative note, but I just wonder if there's also like a different way that you could also look at having a child and how different it could make that situation. But my question, I guess, like my follow-up to you is there any worries about kind of rushing this kid in? Like I said, he's 20 years old. Typically goaltenders take a little bit to flourish and take a little bit to get to the NHL. They're typically the last position player to achieve, you know, success, usually in the into their mid-20s, let alone at 20 years old. But one of the goalies who did break into the NHL at 20 years old and had some success was Carter Hart. That said, a couple of years later, once he finally hit a snag in the NHL, he hasn't really been able to recover. Again, he's still super young. He's still only 22, has plenty of time to actually get it going. But is there any worries that maybe rushing him could lead to a Carter Hart situation where, you know, trying to find your footing in the NHL is a lot more difficult than trying to do it in the AHL?
The thing is, and thankfully, the Florida Panthers can score. So having that ability to score, and the Florida Panthers so far in the preseason, I know it's preseason, they're averaging over four goals a game. Last year, they scored a lot. They were tops of the league in their ability to score goals of their goals for. So, but at the same time, Bobrovsky did give up a lot of goals too. They had a lot of goals against as well. So even though wins is an overrated stat, one thing on my Twitter bio that a lot of people will see is QB pitcher / goalie wins are not a stat. That I live and die by that statement. But if it's a team stat, so that, which is the point in that statement, is if the team is winning, even if he's giving up 3 or 4 goals and they're scoring a lot on the other end, then it's not a big deal. My worry is when a lot of teams shut the Panthers down, like for example the Tampa Bay Lightning and another team that is great defensively in the New York Islanders. My goodness, do they not let people score? They know how to defend. Are they gonna be able to stay in close low scoring games? If it's a high scoring game, I like the Panthers' chances in winning games. If it's a low scoring game, then I'm a little bit worried about the Panthers' chances at this point in time. It could change, and all. But if Bobrovsky is starting and able to win those low scoring games, I'll be more confident that he'll be able to still get in that 60% of starts so that Spencer Knight can still learn, because in the NHL, 82 games, if 40%, if I'm saying 40% of 82, my mental math is not that great. I'm going to assume it's like 30-ish games. If you can get him to around 30 games, 35, and keep it there, then that's good for a real rookie season, and then still eventually like groom him in. I do think that if the performance suffers and it results in team losses, then you have a situation on hand. And Coach Q is not afraid to pull a plug on anyone. And that he's not afraid to make difficult decisions. He had to do that even in the playoffs last year. He had to do that with not only starting Spencer Knight over Sergei Bobrovsky and Chris Drieger, but he had to do that in benching and scratching Keith Yandle in the playoffs, even though being scratched in the playoffs doesn't count towards a streak. But he had to make a couple of hard decisions as well. So he's not afraid to do it. And I trust Coach Q's judgment. He's been there before. He's second all time in wins, and he's has three Stanley Cups to his name and a Coach of the Year award to his name.
Yeah. I mean, Q's an animal. He's one of the best to ever do it, that's for sure. So he's someone that you definitely want to have behind the bench if you have a rooting interest in that specific team. There was a lot of turnover in Florida. You guys ended up making some big additions in the last year. Like, you mean picked up, like, Sam Bennett was picked up at the deadline. He was exceptional down the stretch. You know, you went out, you traded for Sam Reinhart, you signed him, you know, a couple other additions. Maybe you have a guy like Denisenko who's ready to break out as a talented young prospect. Which one of these, like, newish additions do you expect to be the most productive?
I think the easy answer is Sam Reinhart, that's for sure. Most of their activity came on the day of the NHL entry draft. Like, when midnight struck, like the day after round one, there was that report of Sam Reinhart being traded to Florida. It was like 12:30 a.m. when that trade came about. After round one, they originally drafted Mackie Semoskevich, which was a pick that I got right as far as our Locked On NHL mock draft, and I take a lot of pride in that. So with that addition, it's definitely great. And Sam Reinhart succeeded a lot once Jack Eichel went down and his production went up. And I think his production as far as goals is going to go down, but it's not going to fully judge on who he is as a player. And I think there you're going to get a different one night. It might be Barkov scoring quite a few goals. Another night, it might be Reinhart on that line. It might be Verhaeghe. Verhaeghe's still a great pickup from the year before when Tampa Bay didn't qualify him an offer. But one player that I really think will make a big impact in this is Anton Lundell. And a year ago from yesterday of this recording on October 6th, it was a year ago when the Florida Panthers drafted Anton Lundell, and he fell to the Florida Panthers at number 12. He averages almost a point a game in his final season in Liga for HIFK. And he's been hurt, and he's now getting into the third game of the preseason against Tampa Bay, and he's going to have – and he still hasn't been sent down to the AHL as of this point in time. But the Coach Q talked about the plan on having him mostly on the penalty kill. He's probably going to start on the bottom six with – the plan is to eventually get him to the top six with maybe shifting Sam Bennett from that second line center over to the wing. So that's probably the plan. At this point in time to eventually groom him in. So Anton Lundell is definitely the guy definitely that I think will just come in and just make a big difference on this team, because in order to win a Stanley Cup, you need production from your bottom six. And look at Tampa Bay, look what they happened. I know they lost the whole third line just this last offseason, but they got a lot of that secondary scoring, and that's going to help the Florida Panthers. And I want to ask you a question actually about a newly acquired Florida Panther in Joe Thornton. I want to ask you, how did he look in Toronto, and what do you think that Joe Thornton can bring to the table for the team that I cover here in Sunrise?
How old is Joe Thornton, Armando?
42.
He looks like he's 42.
Mm-hmm.
To answer your question, the best days of Joe Thornton are clearly behind him. I don't think I'm, you know, sharing any secrets here. Things looked okay for a little bit, but, you know, he's a guy who probably just going to go in there, skate on your fourth line, play some fourth line minutes. He can play center still win you some faceoffs. He's playing the wing quite a bit last year. You know, early in the year, he did get a run with like McDavid and Marner, Matthews and Marner, which is kind of crazy. And there was production, but anyone's going to have production playing with those guys. I mean, what Hyman was able to do, and I actually love Hyman. So I have a bad taste in my mouth by saying that. But anyways, I don't think he's going to add much on the ice. Off the ice, I mean, this is a team that's looking to kind of get over a hump, right? You finally have like a good core of like Barkov, Huberdeau, you know, Aaron Ekblad. Like, you have this core that's been groomed and growing for the last few years, and they're trying to get over a hump. And I think that bringing in a guy like Joe Thornton, although it didn't work here in Toronto, I think that that's the assumption, or that's the plan for that in Sunrise. So I wouldn't expect him to, you know, be the Joe Thornton that you used to watch when he was in San Jose. But, you know, a guy's going to go out there, play 9 to 13 minutes a game, and probably even filter in and out of the lineup depending on matchups and whatnot. And just kind of just be a contributor, but a strong piece of the locker room and off the ice as well. So that would be my – yeah, Joe Thornton.
Yeah, and go ahead.
Go ahead. No, all you.
Yeah, and one thing I just don't hope is that he's just not on the same line as Patrick Hornquist, because a little bit of the speed factor or lack thereof. So,
well, I mean, played with like Mitch Marner, who's got some speed to him, right? Yeah, I mean, and he's also played with like Wayne Simmonds, who's not, you know, quick anymore. Like, that was a fourth line. So he's done both, where he's played on in Toronto. He played with, you know, some speedsters, some guys who got some wheels at Marner, but he's also played with some guys who got some absolute blocks, cinder blocks for skates. And I mean, I guess that's probably a little bit harsh to say, but guys who aren't fleet of foot, like Wayne Simmonds and like what Joe Thornton now is as well.
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple more questions to throw at you here, but I'll start with this one. Carter Verhaeghe had a massive year last season, right? As did Sam Bennett when he got moved there. They both signed pretty big extensions, I would say, in the offseason. Any worries about like the fact that was maybe just a one-year, one-hit type wonder for those guys, and that come even as close as this season, but certainly in the next few seasons, that these two, you'll look back on these contracts and be like, why did they sign these players to these contracts?
I would be more worried about Sam Bennett more than Carter Verhaeghe, because Carter Verhaeghe is still, I mean, both of them are still very young, but the shooting percentage did go up for Sam Bennett from his time in Calgary. I don't know whether it was bad utilization. I'm going to assume it's bad utilization from his time in Calgary.
He was a fourth liner for the most part in Calgary. Like, he had some opportunities up in the top six, but for the most part, he was utilized as a bottom six guy, just a complimentary role. It was ruled out as like a core main piece pretty early on in Calgary, which is what led to a change of scenery.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that he was inserted in the second line right away and then that improved, I mean, the shooting percentage definitely went up, and it's not sustainable. I'll say that. I'll be the first to say that it's not sustainable. But however,
he was at like over a point per game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just about.
Is he not?
Yeah, just about. Yeah. And he does have Jonathan Huberdeau on his same line. And one thing about Jonathan Huberdeau is he is an elite playmaker. He knows how to set up other teammates, and I think that's what Sam Bennett has been missing. And that in that same line is Owen Tippett, who I think Owen Tippett is going to have a great season this year. He's in his second full season in the NHL, and he scored two goals just the other night in Orlando, and 10th overall pick, and I think he does have a lot of complementary pieces around him. So even if he's not scoring, he still has those complementary pieces around him to set up plays as well. So if there is one of those two, which either Carter Verhaeghe or Sam Bennett, I would say Sam Bennett, because the shooting percentage is not sustainable. And based on who they're combined with, Verhaeghe is combined with Barkov and Reinhardt, two number two overall picks on one line. So Carter Verhaeghe is definitely in better hands than Sam Bennett, that's for sure.
And I just quickly pulled it up, what exactly Sam Bennett, because I knew his like his stats were off the charts when he got traded there. 10 games in Florida, the final 10 games of the regular season, 6 goals, 9 assists. He had 15 points in 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
He only had 12 in 38 before the trade.
Amazing.
Like that's how unbelievable. And then he was a point per game in the playoffs too. 5 points in 5 games in the playoffs as well. And he's always kind of been a playoff performer. The year before, he had 8 points in 10 games, 5 goals that year in Calgary as well. Yeah, like Sam Bennett's an interesting guy, like former third overall pick. You would think that that it was going to click at some point, and looks like luckily for Florida, it's clicking there, and didn't really have to give up much to get him. It was like a second rounder and
two.
A prospect that you guys took the year before, right? So it really wasn't that much. I think it was worth the roll of the dice, and the contract would worry me a little bit, but if he can do 3/4 of that, if he could be 3/4 of what he was, or maybe even 60%, might actually be worth the contract.
Absolutely. And it's and Bill Zito has, as far as how he's been structuring contract, as far as term, that's the number one thing that he's been trying to, unless your name is Barkov, Huberto, or Ekblad, you're not getting long-term deals. And the ability to be able to still bring in, still have flexibility in the future, that's the best part about all of that. And they extended Reinhart, Bennett, Duclair, Verhaeghe a year before his contract was supposed to expire. So nobody got 8-year deals in this recent offseason. It was more of a run it back mentality for this team. And the fact that they have flexibility long term too. Next year is going to be a little tough with the cap, because they still have a majority of Keith Yandel's buyout, and of course the elephant in the room, Sergei Bobrovsky's contract. So next year is going to be a little tough, but after that, there's still a little bit of financial flexibility.
And lastly, I guess we can keep it pretty short and brief. What are the team expectations for Florida?
The team expectations are to win a playoff round. That's the simple as that. And it's been since 1996. Of course, for the Maple Leafs, it's been since 2004. And they have a little bit of a taste in their mouth, and they firmly believe, people can debate this all they want with the New York Islanders as well, that they believe, a lot of people believe that Florida gave Tampa Bay the biggest challenge in the playoffs last year. And if it weren't for Tampa Bay, a lot of people believe that this Florida Panthers team from last season could have possibly made it all the way to the Stanley Cup final, even the semifinals last year against New York. So there was an opportunity for that. And they just, with the division realignment, they kind of, you know, went against the eventual champs. And the goal is to win a playoff round, but the first order of business is to try to win that division. It's very important to get home ice in the first round, and maybe even the first two rounds. And right now, the Tampa Bay Lightning, they have every reason to have all the bragging rights in the world. They have every reason. Their real season for them is the postseason. Same thing with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think the Panthers are really going to be extremely aggressive in the regular season in order to win the division, to get that advantage of home ice. I know they got it last year, and they lost in 6 games. They lost home ice fairly quickly by losing both games at home. And you want to get every advantage that you can. And I think the Panthers will win the division, and they will get home ice in the first 2 rounds. As far as playoff prediction, I think they'll win at least 1 round. I'm not ready to say another round. I will actually get there when it happens. And so definitely something that I'm expecting, at least 1 playoff series win. And maybe this time around, they'll meet the Tampa Bay Lightning in the second round, and there'll be a rematch of last season.
Maybe we can get a Toronto and Florida round 1. And then we're guaranteed to have one of these two break the streak, right?
Like, something we've got to give.
It's a possibility.
Definitely. That would be definitely a fun series to definitely watch, and something that a lot of media will be talking about. So who's going to be the team that breaks the drought? And if that were to happen, there'll be more pressure on the Toronto side because of the market.
Yeah, I will agree with that one. Let's take one more quick break, and then when we get back, let's play some Cosign No Sign.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Did you know that the Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time only? Right now, they've got Grasshopper Cookie. It is phenomenal. And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about all of their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you're missing out. You got coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. So there's something for everyone. And know this, my favorite flavor, the peanut butter brownie. It is fantastic. And if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mix box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors that we provide. And not only are the Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. They're great for the health conscious guy or gal, but also good for the keto diet. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, just 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever you like, and get it now. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Welcome back to the Locked On crossover between the Locked On Panthers and the Locked On Leafs. I'm Mike DiStefano with Armando Velez. We're going to play a game called Cosign No Sign. And the reason why I guess I stepped on your toes a little bit there was just because I wanted to explain the game a little bit to the listeners, to your listeners. Might have heard this before. Not quite sure if your listeners have heard of it, but it's a pretty simple concept. I'm going to make a statement. You're going to make a statement to each other. We're going to make statements. And then if we agree with the statement, you co-sign it. If you disagree, yeah, no sign it. I will let you go first.
All right. Cosign or no sign? This will be Mitch Marner's last season in Toronto.
No sign. No sign. Like I've already said, he's not going anywhere. You're not going to be better by trading him away. Like, there's no chance. So I'm going to no sign that one. Cosign, no sign. Sasha Barkov will sign an extension by opening night.
I'm going to say cosign because there'll be quite a few days before the season starts, and that will give Bill Zito an opportunity to sit down with Barkov's agent and an opportunity to get it done so that when the season does come, that it won't be a distraction over the Florida Panthers' heads as they try to chase for a division title in the Stanley Cup.
What's that number look like, you think? What are the numbers being thrown out there?
There's not anything reported, but I'm going to guess that it's not going to be anything lower than 10 and then 8 figures, because after what Kirill Kaprizov made after just one season in the NHL, I don't have a reason to believe that Alexander Barkov will make anything less than 8 figures on his new contract. So
yeah,
10 million minimum.
Well, where do we have him on the Locked On NHL top 50 list? Like, he was up there in the top 15.
He was number 12.
Yeah. So, I mean, almost a top 10 player in the NHL. I think 10 million is the base number.
Mm-hmm.
Second one for you. Go ahead.
All right. The Toronto Maple Leafs will win a playoff series. Sign or co-sign or no sign?
I'm going to have to co-sign it because I'll get laughed out of Toronto if I no-sign it, and my viewership will probably fold on me. So, like, I have to co-sign it. But I'll say this. It's going to be extremely difficult. There are a lot of expectations for this team to make a playoff run, and it's almost like playoff round, playoff win, or bust. But when you actually break it down, like, it's going to be tough. You're going to have to play either Tampa, who's a 2-time defending cup champion, Florida, who I believe has really improved their club this year, and they're going to be a tough team to play against, and Boston, who's just always a thorn in the side of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So odds are you're going to have to play one of those three unless you end up with a wild card spot and get to flip over to the other side, which even then, like, the Islanders are always a tricky team to play. I think Carolina's got a really good squad. So although everyone says it's playoff win or bust, nothing's guaranteed. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be a good season. But I will say this. Most people here in Toronto are not going to care what happens in the regular season. Toronto could win the President's Trophy. They could win the Atlantic Crown, President's Trophy, all that. If they do not win a playoff round, none of it matters in the regular season.
Yeah, that's fair. Postseason is what matters.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, cosign, no sign. Mackenzie Weegar had himself a breakout campaign last year. Is he a better defenseman than Aaron Ekblad? Co-sign or no sign that? Man, I can see. People who are listening to this can't see, but like your brain, just the gears are moving. You're like, how do I answer this question? Have you been wrestling with this? Is this something you've been talking about? It seemed like I pressed the button there.
I'm going to have to say no sign, but not by much. He's definitely taken many different steps, but as far as his two-way play, it's definitely not to the level of Aaron Ekblad. As far as defense, you could definitely make an argument on whether he's up there with Aaron Ekblad. But as far as two-way play, I gotta give a slight edge to Aaron Ekblad because Aaron Ekblad can be used in multiple phases of the game, defense, offense, and even special teams for the Florida Panthers. Mackenzie Weegar, I thought he was going to be the new quarterback on the power play with Keith Yandle being bought out, but right now he's being used on power play 2 for the Florida Panthers, while Ekblad is on power play 1 as well. So as far as flexibility and as far as two-way play and as far as being used on the top power play line, slight edge to Aaron Ekblad, but it's not by much.
It's really interesting though that you mentioned that Mackenzie Weegar like is going to get some power play time this year, because if you look at a majority of his points, he was like a league leader in defenseman for points at 5-on-5.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's going to add some power play time to that, and if he could boost up his numbers just based on getting some power play time, I like Mackenzie Weegar's chances of really cementing himself as a top line defenseman in this league. You got your final one for me. Let's hear it.
All right. Sheldon Keefe will be behind the bench for the Toronto Maple Leafs beyond this year.
Cosign. They gave him a contract for a reason. Like, I don't think that the contract, like the fact, I know I said earlier, it's somewhat of like a trial thing, but I think they'll give him more than just 1 year, and it'll also depend on how the season goes. But at the end of the day, if I really had to put money on it, I think it's more likely than less likely that he is still going to be the head coach of the Maple Leafs next year. So I'll co-sign that one for sure. I mean, you basically answered this one when you were talking about how you thought the team was going to do and expectations, but cosign or no sign, the Florida Panthers will finish ahead of Toronto in the standings this season.
I'm gonna cosign on that one, but I do think that the Toronto Maple Leafs will be in the top three. I'll say that. I think it'll be Tampa, Toronto, and Florida in those top three. It could go in any order, actually, but I think the Florida Panthers will do everything they can to try to win the division. And I think I'm not very high on Boston with their losses of David Krejci as well. Tuukka Rask isn't expected to play until probably January, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Montreal lost a lot of pieces from their Stanley Cup run, and you have a lot of the, even though Ottawa says they're not in a rebuild anymore, I still think they're a year or two away. But yeah, I think Toronto has that possibility because of how well they play in the regular season consistently, that they will be in that top three. And last time, before the COVID shutdown last year, the Florida Panthers were chasing the Toronto Maple Leafs before the COVID shutdown in 2019, 2020. And the Florida Panthers were a few points behind them, but a lot of turnover from these two teams since. So definitely the Florida Panthers made a GM change. They're now their third year of Coach Q, and usually when Coach Q was in Chicago, year two was when he hoisted the Stanley Cup with the Chicago Blackhawks. So I think this is going to – I'm not saying that the Florida Panthers are going to win the Stanley Cup this year, but I'm saying that they'll take a step into the next – into the right direction in winning the division and winning at least one playoff round.
Yeah, I mean, I like the setup of the Florida Panthers. I do like what they've done over the course of the last year and a half, dating back to, I guess, the – you know, last year, picking up Raggy on a super cheap contract, taking a flyer on him, bringing in, you know, Sam Bennett already mentioned, allowing Uyghur to blossom, and then going out, getting Reinhardt. They've got some good young kids coming up that you mentioned earlier, Denisenko, they've got Tippett, Lundell. Got a nice little nucleus that's growing down in Sunrise. And really, I just hope that they can sell some tickets to go and watch a team that good. Like, no offense, but it'd be nice to see that barn nice and packed for a team that's putting pretty good product out on the ice.
Absolutely. And it's going to take consistent winning in order for it to happen also in the regular season as well. And there are certain nights, of course, especially when there's a big road team coming to town, that you not only see the road team fans come, but you actually see a lot of Panther fans come to see them in those big matchups. And you, and opening night is a week away from this recording, and I'm expecting a packed house and a loud house there at the FLA Live Arena in Sunrise. So definitely going to be a fun season. And if they go definitely on a run, you're going to see those regular season games as well, packed with a lot of screaming Panther fans along with the postseason. And there's more conversation around the Panthers every single time they've been to the playoffs. Of course, it dies down if they're eliminated early, and mostly a lot of people's thoughts shift to football. So South Florida is known as a football town. I mean, I'm a Dolphins fan as well, along with being a Florida Panthers fan. It's not really good right now as far as that. So I have the Florida Panthers definitely to look forward to, and a lot of South Florida fans I think are see that this team is a playoff ready team, and definitely one of the top 10 top 5 teams that could possibly hoist the Stanley Cup. And winning consistently, that's what's going to happen. We look at the neighbors just northwest of Sunrise, how they are able to pack the house almost every single night. And I live in Lightning territory here in Orlando, and it's a big Bolts market here. So you see people just wearing Lightning shirts all the time.
Winning championships helps, right? Championships definitely helps.
Definitely. And yeah. winning culture changes so many things. And people are really high on the Miami Heat, even though they haven't won a championship in 8 years now, but people still talk about them all the time. And that's the impact of winning. It goes beyond just the very next year. It goes beyond 5 years. It goes beyond 10 years. So that one helps.
Yeah, until, you know, you're 50 years past the championship like us, and it's like half of, like, my parents weren't alive the last time the Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup. That's how long my parents were not walking this earth during a Stanley Cup parade that was held by the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's how long it's been for them.
Wow.
So in theory, I guess it'd be nice to win one, but win one at least every 50 years. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And in baseball, a lot of Cubs fans felt that way for the longest time on the side of things. People of my generation,
When the Eagles won the championship a couple years ago in football too.
Yeah, and even Canadians fans now in my generation, they haven't won since 1993. That was the year I was born. So there's another example of a historic team that hasn't won anything. We could go on and on about every sport and everything, but yeah, there some certain fan bases are just craving for that one, and you just, a lot of fans think, just win me one before I die.
Hey, right here. Let's just get a title. Come on, get a championship to Toronto. It would be a hell of a party. Armando, really appreciate. I'm glad we were able to get this done.
Thank you. And for my listeners, tell them where they can find you and your work online.
Yeah, you can go, take a listen, take a gander at the Locked On Leafs podcast. Also, every Tuesday, I'm on the Locked On NHL show. You can follow me on Twitter at Mickey_Canuck. I'm always very active on Twitter. That's my social media of choice. Armando, let my listeners know where they can find your stuff.
They can follow me on Twitter at MondoMan12. Follow the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast anywhere they listen to podcasts. You could see my writing on PantherParkway.com. And I also write about the Miami Dolphins for DolphinsTalk.com. And if you follow me, you'll see a lot of tweets about South Florida sports, especially during this time of year with hockey starting and how much of a disgruntled football fan I am right now. You'll see a lot of those tweets. But you'll see a lot of exciting tweets about hockey because the hockey side is great, just not the football side is great right now. So for me.
Good stuff. All right. Well, I think that comes to a close here, the crossover podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano from Locked On Leafs, for Armando Velez of Locked On Panthers. Thanks for stopping in, and cheers.